There's a stark contrast between the Jesus of the manger and the Jesus who will one day return in great power and glory. The eyes of the baby Jesus twinkled in the pale moonlight. The eyes of the coming Jesus are like flaming fire. Today, we turn our gaze into the future for a look at the Christ of supreme authority, the Christ who comes to judge the earth. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We've met several versions of Christ so far in Erwin Lutzer's series on rumors about Jesus. Today we'll see an accurate vision of the King of Kings. Stay with us as Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak on images of Jesus in Revelation.
So, who is Jesus? This has been a brief series of messages entitled Rumors About Jesus, because we've talked about some Jesuses, if I can put it that way, who are not able to save. We have to be careful. It is not enough to say that I believe in Jesus. We have to believe in the right one, because the Bible says that many antichrists, many Christs, are gone out into the world. We've also noticed that the Jesus of the New Testament cuts a clean swath. He distinguishes himself from all other options because there is no one else like him. But also, what we need to know is that there is more to Jesus than simply the Jesus of the Gospels. We often hear it, Jesus came to teach us to love one another. And that's true, but that's not all that he is. He's much more than that. One day I was riding on a plane, and the person next to me was a pacifist, a Christian pacifist, believed that nobody should ever go out to war because Jesus told us to love our enemies, so that's what we should do. We should just love our enemies, and if they shoot us, let them shoot us. And when I disagreed, he told me that he could not believe that I was a follower of Christ. Actually, I'm giving you the censored version. It was much clearer than that. Well, I'll tell you what he told me. He told me I was going to hell. Okay. But the reason he said that is, how can you, as a follower of Jesus, believe in something like warfare? Well, I want you to know today, I tried to point out to this brother as the plane was landing, I tried to point out to this person that Jesus is not a pacifist, as we shall see today. Yes, he did give us some instructions on how to live in this world, most assuredly, but at the end time, he is not a pacifist. However you fall on the side of those issues, we're taking a different look at Jesus today. If you have your Bibles, the first passage is the first chapter of Revelation. I hope all of you have your Bibles today, because I'm going to be reading and pointing out some very, very significant things. I'm going to be reading two very compelling and gripping descriptions of Jesus. And I'm going to be commenting on the first one, and then we'll move to the second, and then we're going to give you some observations that will wrap it up, and this will end the series, but it will be on Jesus in the book of Revelation. All too hurriedly and all too quickly. But nonetheless, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. John is writing this. He said, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. Who is this Jesus? This is not the Jesus of the crucifixion. This is the Jesus now of the glorification. Same Jesus, needless to say, but an entirely different picture. Not the Jesus of poverty, but the Jesus of power. Not the Jesus who comes as a Savior, but as we shall see in a few moments, a Jesus who comes as a judge. Let's look at the description very briefly. His robe, he's walking among the candlesticks. The candlesticks represent the churches to whom he is going to dictate seven letters to seven different congregations. And so Jesus is walking, and his robe is all the way down to his ankles, like the robe of a high priest. His breastplate, a golden sash around his chest, we read, again reminding us of the high priest. His hair, white as wool. In Daniel chapter 7, this description is applied to God Almighty. And here it is applied to Jesus, because Jesus is God. It's symbolic of the fact that he is the Ancient of Days. What a figure John was able to see. His eyes are like blazing fire. It has to do with fierceness against his enemies and also supernatural intelligence. You've met someone who, when you look into their eyes, it's as if they can see right clean through you. Well, Jesus can. His eyes are like blazing fire. His feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. And it is with these feet that he goes among the congregations. It is he who goes up and down the aisles of Moody Church. It is he who passes the offering plate. It is he who sees all things and he evaluates the congregations, as we see here in the book of Revelation. And then you'll notice in his right hand there are seven stars. And later on they're interpreted as the seven angels of the churches. The angels perhaps meaning the lead pastors of the churches. Ultimately, the leadership of the church is in his right hand, the text says, as he walks along. And out of his mouth, we've just read a moment ago, comes a two-edged sword. And this is the kind of sword that is used in battle. Could I say it's the kind of sword that kills? And his face, the Bible says, is like the sun shining in its brilliance. Or like one translation says, the sun shining in its strength. I hope I have my statistics right, but somewhere I read that 1 pound of energy, 1 pound of energy heat can actually take 20 million tons of rocks and turn those rocks into lava, 2,500 degrees. 1 pound of energy, 20 million tons of rocks. But did you know that the sun radiates 4 million tons of energy every single second? You ever thought of how bright the sun really is? I mean, it heats the world at 93 million miles away. And John is saying, I saw him, and it says his face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. This is Jesus. No wonder John says, I fall at his feet as if I were dead. Well, we have to pause here and remind ourselves that this is the Jesus of the New Testament, with whom John was a very close friend. It's generally believed that it was John, you remember, who would lean on Jesus Christ's breast as a group of men sat actually on the floor with their feet extended, one next to the other. John, Peter, James, and John were Jesus Christ's most intimate friends when he was here on earth. And in those days they were buddies, if we could put it that way. But now it's entirely different. Now when he begins to realize who this baby in a manger really was, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with this graphic description, suddenly John falls down and says, I was as if I were dead in his presence, which is actually the only proper response that one should have in the presence of Jesus. If Shakespeare were to walk into this room, we might stand. If Jesus walked into this room, we'd be compelled to kneel. So John here falls on his face. What's all this going on in the text? Well, Jesus Christ is indicating his authority, most assuredly. But also, in the text, as we were to, if we were to take and read it, we'd see that our accountability is to him. As I've mentioned, he is the one who is going up and down the aisles of the church. He is the one who evaluates seven different churches and comes to the conclusion as to what their strengths and weaknesses are and where they should repent. Some time ago, at an elders' retreat, we took the letters to the seven churches. We read them and studied them, and then we came up with our own letter as to what we think Jesus would say about Moody Church, its weaknesses and strengths, because Jesus is constantly evaluating us, and we are accountable to him. And then you'll notice the words of Jesus to John. He says, "Do not be afraid." Now I'm in verses 17 and 18. "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and of Hades." You talk about authority. He's got the keys of death and Hades. You've heard me say here at the Moody Church, we have a number of different keys. There are some keys that will only get you into the auditorium, or into the building, I should say. And then there are other keys that will take you a little further into the office area. And I have a key that gets me into the building, into the office area, into my study. It is called a G key. In fact, I have it right here. I noticed the other day somebody was in a dilemma and needed a closet opened. And it worked. I said to the trustees one time, "What does the G stand for?" And they said, "God." Here it is. Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. It's one thing to have a key that'll let you into a building, but he's the one who has the keys to all of eternity. And when he swings a door open for you so that you can go to heaven, that door is swung open by his hand. If that door is closed so that you go to Hades, it is closed by his hand. But nobody ever evades Jesus. Nobody. You can't get into eternity and bypass him. Well, my friend, I can't help but think what a different picture the book of Revelation gives us about Jesus than the one in Luke chapter 2 that we usually emphasize at Christmas time. And that's why I preach this series of messages, so that we might know that the babe in the manger didn't stay there. Ultimately, that's not what the coming of Jesus Christ is about, for him to remain a baby. It's because as King, as Lord, as Savior, he died on the cross, he ascended into heaven, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Bottom line, during the flurry of Christmas, worship the Christ who's been exalted by God.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Images of Jesus in Revelation, the last message in his series on rumors about Jesus. Tomorrow, another image of Jesus, this time from Revelation chapter 19. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Rumors about Jesus can be yours as a 5-message CD series sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.